2 Timothy chapter 2. I was struck with this question, and that question being, what does your church membership mean to you? Do you remember when you were first saved and first baptized? Did you have zeal? Were you excited? Were you nervous? The follow-up question to that, of course, would be, do you still feel that same excitement? Are you still just as active? Have you grown? Have you taught? What has happened in the years since you stepped into the waters? Lord willing, in a little bit, we will be adding Xander to our church membership. While these words are applicable to him and what will be expected of him, of course, they are for us, they are just as much for us as the church family. Unlike the Elks, the Rotary Club, or the Girl Scouts, we are more than just a social club. By stepping into the waters, we make a commitment to live a certain way. The Lord Himself holding us accountable for our actions. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." And as I hear those words passed on from Paul to Timothy, I so often recall the words that were passed on from my pastor to me when I was first learning how to be a church member, when I was first learning how to preach. There was always somebody that stood there to pass down the wisdom from my pastor to me, from my pastor's pastor to him, and so on and so forth, all the way back to the feet of Jesus Christ. We are to gain knowledge. We are to grow. We are to become stronger. Never being complacent, never just going with the flow. The very first admonition that we see there, be strong. Be strong in what? Well, according to verse 1, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You must be strong in that grace. You must be strong in Christ. Any strength that we have is a marvelous gift from God at Christ's expense. The work Christ put us to is not for the weak of mind or will. We are all charged to be our best, to not serve out of convenience, but out of service and love. We are to stay strong to that service for as long as that calling is ours, and it is a lifelong calling, never ending until the Lord calls us home. We serve day in and day out. And what a marvelous service it is. What joy we have. What excitement comes in serving God through one of His churches. As a church member, to find yourself busy, there is no greater pleasure. We were joking just a couple weeks ago. There was a point where, I think, Brother Mike, what was it? Almost every day from Sunday until Saturday, some of us were right here in the church with maybe one or two days missing in there. And I tell you what, that was a good week. That was a good week. I had fun seeing your faces. And we joke about that. You know, are you getting tired of seeing us or getting tired? No, as a matter of fact. I never tire of you folks, at least not yet. And I hope you don't tire of me. I enjoy our time together. Some of my greatest memories were coming up in church and being there 9, 10 o'clock at night working on something that, you know what, in the long run didn't really matter. Does it matter what color the light fixtures are? Does it matter what we painted this wall? Probably not. But we did the best we could for the Lord. We put Him as our priority. And we had an awful lot of fun doing it. There's a lot of joy in my life that comes around from being in God's house. There's a lot of joy that comes in that service. This is not a grievous service to have. You're going to give me eternal life in heaven. Give me everything that I do not deserve. You're going to dole blessing upon me. And your call to me is to serve among people that I love. Well, all right. That doesn't seem too harsh at all. I'll absolutely dive into that. In being strong, we must understand where that strength comes from. And I would say this to Xander just as much as I would say this to myself in the mirror and to you from the pulpit. Your strength must come from the Lord. I cannot serve out of a sense of, hey, look at me. I cannot serve out of a sense of, well, this is what I'm supposed to do. Anything in my own strength, where it's for my honor, my glory, or in my way or intentions, will fall flat. I will run out of that strength. I will not be strong enough. What I need is I need to find God's wisdom in things. I need to find the way that Christ has asked me to do it, and I need to stick to that. I need to daily be on my knees and say, Lord, these things where I am weak, please give me the strength to do them. I've mentioned this, and I will hold fast to it. We ought not just to pray for the opportunities to serve God. He litters our days with opportunities to serve Him. We need to pray for the strength to take those opportunities and do what we've been called to do with them. Here I sit with 45 minutes staring at this, staring at that, that has no good for me whatsoever, when I could be putting that into Bible reading, Bible study, prayer, the giving of the gospel. Here I am stuck with this person for 15 minutes, and for whatever reason, we make small talk. We talk about the weather. We talk about the sports. We talk about politics, but we never bring it around to Jesus Christ. And I would even say this, I've heard many a sermon that was more political than it ever was scriptural. It was more societal based than it ever was. Here's the scriptural answer to this problem. Everything we do, every decision we make, not only based in, but completely defined by what God says to do. That is where our strength is. Lord, take away my frailties. Take away the weakness of my flesh. And give to me the desire and the ability to do all the things that I will come across today. And not just in having strength, but we must have devotion to Him. You're going to give me all that grace. You're going to give me forgiveness time and time again. You're going to give me the strength to do the work. Oh, my heart goes to nobody but You. By giving us salvation, our lives are drastically changed. What I would say is that we should love God every day for that great change. He is worthy of our praise. Christ is worthy of our praise. Verse 2, we see the admonition from Paul commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. The first part of that verse, forgive me for skipping it, it's very important. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. As Xander, as I teach you, as you learn from the scriptures, as you learn from the church members in this building, then as you learn to teach. There's two different kinds of learning, right? There's the kind of learning where I'm just watching you do something. And okay, I'll pick it up for my knowledge. But when you learn with the idea of teaching it later, you pay a little bit closer attention, don't you? Hey, listen, let me tell you what this scripture means. Don't just read as you say, I understand it. Don't just understand. Be prepared to be an expert at it. To where you've got the working and functioning understanding of what must take place. Right? Kids all over the country, they just finished up with their final exams for the year, right? Whether they're in college or they're in high school, they're taking those great big exams. Why? They're there to probe the mind to see what stuck, right? We threw all this knowledge at you, what stuck? Our goal as biblical students is not to just have things stick, but to have things function within us, that we may be able to do things with what we have learned. We had this teacher, Mr. Dickinson, who had the plant cell and the animal cell. And to this day, I could tell you not only what everything is in the plant and in the animal cell, I could tell you what color it was on his model. Much to my surprise when I found out that those weren't the real colors in the cells that he had there. Right? The Golgi apparatus is pink, right? We knew what that was. I have never once had to diagram a cell up to this point. And I don't think I'm ever going to have a job where I have to. Now, is that good knowledge to have? Well, yeah, if you're going to get into biology, that's some pretty pertinent information. For someone going into theology, probably not so much. But that's what stuck. He taught me something, and it stuck. But I've got no functioning use for it. Now, again, this is not a scathing thing, and we don't teach people that's useless for them. We don't know. Grab everything you can, right? But when I study the Bible, whether I'm a biologist, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm a construction worker, I'm a carpenter, whatever. Whatever it is you do, that functioning understanding of theology will apply to everything. Whether I was scrubbing the floors at McDonald's, or I was selling things or running the properties, it doesn't matter. A functioning understanding of what God has to say was always a part of what I did. And folks, that is how we learn. We learn that we may not only practice, but to teach. Let me show you verbally what this means. It kind of breaks my heart when I see people who have been a part of churches for decades and they still don't have a functioning understanding of the Bible. Get into that thing. You've had all this time. Where are you? What have you been doing? Get your Bible open. Don't just believe things because it is the fad. I keep poking fun at the Southern Baptist Convention, but that's what they're doing. They're getting together to vote over what they believe. And I wonder how much of this debate is focused on Scripture alone, and how much of it, well, this is my understanding, and this is my understanding, this is what I think, when the answer sits right in front of us. This is what I know to believe. Verbally, I must be able to teach it. I must be able to explain it. And not just that, but it must be able to be explained by my actions. Churches are lousy with people who know but do not do. And while I do not suspect it here, we must never become that church that believes but does nothing about it. I know I shouldn't do X, Y, or Z, but I'm going to anyway. And when the pastor preaches on it, I will amen him, and then I will go home and do the thing that I just amen that we should not do. Don't do that. Work what you believe. If you believe that giving the gospel is important, then you should be giving the gospel. If you believe that God is not done with this church, you should be participating in it in everything that you can. In this also, we see the admonition, verse 3, to endure hardness. As a church member, we endure hardness all the time. Xander, as a newly saved person, you will endure hardness. And no more hardness will you ever have to endure than the hardness that comes from yourself. The desire to sin, the desire to pull back, to not participate, to see the church as them and see yourself as me. When you refer to each other as they and they and they. And when you allow the devil to tell you that your contribution doesn't matter. That what you have to say doesn't matter. That the things that you've done don't matter. When you allow the devil to say that, don't do that. That's hardness that comes from within. You do not need. See yourself differently. Behave differently. Live according to Scripture. Make decisions sound scriptural when you talk. Endure that hardness. Sin, laziness, apathy. They all lie at the door. Don't let them in. Don't let them in. We also know that we face hardness from without. There are many people out there that would disagree with what we're doing here today. There are many people that would disagree with the Bible that we use, and they would hate the idea that we're still using pews, and they would hate our hymnal, and they would hate the instruments and the fact that there's no drum set. They would have problems with us even being called a church or for us preaching and teaching and praying in the name of Jesus Christ. There is a hardness to be faced outside in this world. We face it gladly with the Lord, and we face it gladly together. Hardness will always be found. As long as we live on this earth, there will be trouble. There'll be people who have arguments and grievances and issues. Let us not give in to that hardness, but let us endure it. There are many folks that, for whatever reason, believe that once they are saved, there will no longer be any problems. But there have been many a Christian that would stand up and say that is when the true problems start. Because now I fight myself, and now I stand for something that's not particularly very well thought of from a societal point of view. The idea of endurance there means to push through. Not just push, but to carry on. If I were to sit there and I were to walk through a group of people, and as I do, excuse me, pardon me, how are you? That's advancing. If I were to run through a group of people, that would be very rude. Wouldn't be very fast, but it'd be very rude. Right? That's pushing through. To endure is to maintain momentum no matter what. To maintain momentum no matter what. You'll see so many people, they'll be in the church for a certain number of years, they'll be in a church for a certain number of weeks, and all of a sudden they'll start to lose their excitement. And much like a relationship that was doomed from the start, because the excitement leaves, the relationship dies. They think that because there are no endorphins, there is no giddiness, therefore God has no intention for me in this church. Well, folks, I'm not here because of the giddiness. There's a lot of giddiness that comes along with being in the church, but I'm not here for it. There are going to be days where I come up here and I know that I've dropped an absolute bomb and everybody was probably worse off for having heard it. And I'm going to walk out and Mondays are the worst. Pastors told me that from the beginning. Xander, go ahead. Yep, there it is. Don't run, though. All right, there are pastors that told me, hey, Mondays are going to be rough. Mondays are going to be hard. So what do you mean Mondays are going to be hard? I always take Mondays off. Why do you take Mondays off? Well, you'll find out. It didn't take me very long here to find out why. Right? I pick apart things. I hate things that I say. You guys kind of have it easy. You get to go home and forget what I said. You guys just kind of look over at each other and go, well, that was lousy, and go home. I have to live with it. Right? There are moments where I'll come out of this pulpit and I don't feel giddy. I don't feel excitement. There'll be moments where I'll come up here and I'll dread certain things. There'll be so much on my mind about one particular subject or another. I'll come up here and if I just put my emotions on it, it'll be a 5-minute sermon, which would be exciting for some of us, but not necessarily pleasing to the Lord. Endure. Don't lose momentum because the feeling is gone. Don't lose momentum because that your coworker said, well, that's weird, you go to church. Who goes to church anymore? And that sounds very high school, but I guess I was surrounded myself by a bunch of coworkers who kind of built their mentality after high school and stopped building. But we're going to face a lot of hardness from without. Endure. The final admonition there is, as a good soldier, and any good soldier knows that you sign up not just for the good times, not just for the fun times, but you sign up to fight your inner problems, to fight your own temptations, to stand up and fight for the things that we each have. If you have a problem, I have a problem, and I'm here to help. If you struggle, I'm struggling. If you rejoice, I rejoice. If you celebrate, I'm there with you. If we're going and we're going to fight the sin in this world by sticking tight with what we're preaching, here I am for it. If fighting involves passing out flyers, knocking on doors, greeting a visitor, making sure that we've made every effort we can to make them feel welcome, if that's what fighting is, I will fight today. And not just in fighting, but to support the squad that I am in, to support my group, my battalion, that whoever I am with, I support them. That I am praying for you, fighting for you, that I care. It is sad when a church maybe not forgets, but neglects one member, two members. Maybe they've got a quirk, maybe they're just a little bit weird. Let us not neglect each other, that every corner of this church building be filled with light, acceptance, and fun. Fond memories and excitement, making everyone to feel welcome. Verse 7 says, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. If you allow me to jump up to the last part of verse 4, I think it goes with it. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Now Xander's in the back getting dressed, but I have impressed it upon him that this baptism, his salvation, are not to be to please me. If he's trying to please Dad today, eventually that'll no longer be good enough motivation for him to do anything, and he'll fail. It is not ours to do what we do to please a pastor, to please the church members. It is ours to please the one that chose us. My desire, my motivation is to bring a smile to God's face, to show the Lord Jesus Christ that I respect and I honor the gift that was given to me. That I would bring honor to Him, I would bring glory to Him, that I would do the things that I know that would best please Him. Folks, that is my prayer for each and every last one of us, that whether you're newly saved and baptized, or you've been baptized longer than I've been alive, that each of us would have the same motivation, and that is to please our Heavenly Father. To show Jesus Christ, maybe we can never prove to Him that we are worth the sacrifice, but prove to Him that we're grateful for the sacrifice He made that day. That we are glad for our election. We are glad for the choosing that He made. I just pray this, that each and every one of us take seriously our church membership, putting God and pleasing Him at the forefront of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are honored to be here this morning. Lord, each and every one of us, while we baptize one, I would ask that You would cause us all to reflect on our own salvation and, Lord, our own church membership. That, Father, we would evaluate ourselves, not from the perspective of how well we think we are doing, but, Lord, answering the question, are we really doing what you deserve to have your children do? Are we bringing You that honor? Are we being good representatives? Lord, are we showing our gratitude in our service? Lord, I pray that for each and every one of us. Be with us now, Lord, in this baptismal service. Lord, help me, help Xander, and Lord, help us all as a church to continue to grow. We are blessed, Father, and we're grateful to You. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This time we'll have some music being played. I believe Xander's already completed, but I'm going to go change. We're going to get him in, so this won't take long. When we've completed the baptism, we're going to have come forward. We're going to do a hymn, and then I will remember this time to bring Xander out for us all to greet him with the right hand of fellowship. All right, thank you. His hands were shaking.